Greetings and welcome to the Elephant TV. Today I'll be speaking to Danish Odongo. Mr. Odongo is a mental health advocate, he's a writer, he's an activist, he's a speaker, communicator, former journalist, and many more things under his purview. Karibu Danish to the Elephant.
Asante, you can never be a former journalist.
You can never
be a former doctor, a former teacher.
Thanks for that correction.
Yeah.
Danish, I mean, let's just start this conversation. So, a couple of years ago, you wrote an article for The Elephant, a brilliant article, writing about your experience, one, in the newsroom, and then your experience out of the newsroom doing civic work and society work, engaging as a advocate for many issues. But the underlying theme in your piece was this idea of mental health. And you were talking about your own experience, you know, undergoing mental health issues. And just not just with you. In the last couple of years, we've seen an increase of mental health awareness. Of course, data has also lent a lens towards this issue. What's going on, Danish, in the public sphere that, you know, we're going crazy? Wow. So what you're basically saying is that we're all crazy. Yes, we have not shown our particular kind of madness yet, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, just moving the conversation, Danish, you've also been talking about the link between mental health and governance.
Yes.
I'd like you to also give me the history, because for most people, when you talk about mental health and governance, we're talking about economic policy, right?
Mm.
So we'll talk about GDP, you know, macro, microeconomics, at least for how governance has been wired for the last, say, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Or we'll talk about political reform,
yeah,
in the sense of constitutionalism, building institutions, the rule of law, you know, etc. Why the link between mental health and governance? So then how do we take the, I mean, well put, but how do we take the conversation forward in an environment, one, that, I mean, as you rightly say, we're two generations away from colonialism, so we're still addressing colonial hang-ups, but in a space where our governance infrastructure is one, is, if, into my mind at least, it feels static, stuck towards a particular paradigm. How then do we, what do we need to now create a new paradigm? Because what you're talking about is actually a new paradigm of looking at, towards the governance conversation. How do we take that leap? And so, I mean, so because we, I mean, I think, I mean, the reason why we have conversations in the media is to amplify conversations before we get to that space. I mean, rightly, no, 8 million Kenyans didn't vote in the last elections. And the Nigerian elections, 219 million population, are talking about something 3 million to 6 million people aren't who are voting. So there's this sense of despondency, political despondency, especially among the youth, not just in Kenya, but I mean, we're seeing it now across other regions, especially it's playing out because now in political processes, that now we're able to now see that actually there's almost a resignation. In your view, Danish, how do you link this kind of alienation that has led to a sense of checking out from the civic space amongst the younger generations and the growing mental health among young populations, not just in Kenya, but across Africa. Finally, Danish, before I let you go. We're in a kind of state, at least to my mind, where there's almost stuck as a nation, right? I mean, there's a sense of there's nothing to move forward to, yet there's nothing to move back to. And a good part of the conversation that we need to have is, as you've been having in different spaces around mental health and pushing these conversations, what kind of advocacy communication would that, how would that look like?